I have a question, and I know it's rhetorical, but do we need to be aware of the evil around us? Yeah. One day, we're not going to have to worry about it. But think about this. You who said no, all right? Think about this. What if a ferocious, roaring lion who wanted to eat you came knocking on your door? Would you let him in? No? Very good. Let me read you a scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, be aware, be vigilant of this current situation, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us. Brethren, that is serious. Let me ask you another question. What if that ferocious, roaring lion who wanted to devour you put on a costume and pretended to be good, and he came knocking on your door, and you knew he was evil, but he's pretending to be nice, to give you lots of cool things, even though he's going to destroy you? Would you let him in? Good. We shouldn't let him in. But let's look at what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Listen to the words in the Bible, okay? And this is talking about false teachers, people who do not want to follow God. They're deceived. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He's full of evil. He's a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. He wants to kill us. He wants to rip us apart. And he transforms himself into an angel of light. Pretending to be something that he's really not. Why? So he can destroy us. He wants to devour us. He wants us to be sad. He wants us to not enjoy the things of God. Satan, who is deadly evil, transforms himself into an angel of light to deceive us. That's his reason. Could we be following him? That's the question for us today. Could our children be following him? Something for us to look at as we go through this short message today. And as we go through it, we should be looking at the things, what we need to be doing to recognize him and to be overcoming him. We'll look at some of his ways and how he deceives us. Then we'll discuss what we can do to counter that, his deception. Number one, and knowing some of his ways, we need to know that he exists and be alert to his devices. Now, Mr. Tuck was reading some statistics, what Mr. Scriber had put in his letter. Here's a statistic, a few statistics regarding Satan the devil. We've heard it before, but 4 out of 10 Christians strongly agree that Satan is not a living being, but only a symbol of evil. So, do you think Satan has done a good job of countering who he is? An additional 2 out of 10 Christians say they agree somewhat with that perspective. A minority of Christians indicate that they believe Satan is real by disagreeing with the statement. 26 disagreed strongly, and 9% disagreed somewhat. The remaining 8% were not sure what they believe about the existence of Satan. You know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, what Paul tells us. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. He's in charge and control of the airwaves. Just like how our cell phone works, how a radio works, broadcasting. He can broadcast. God is telling us that Satan will try and trick us. So we must always be on guard. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 3. We must always be on guard of who's knocking on our physical door. We also need to be on guard what Satan wants to bring into our minds. And that's point number two as we read here Genesis chapter 3. Satan wants us to disobey God and decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. Satan wants us to disobey God and decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. He pushes that. Genesis chapter 3, we know this scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Do we believe it? More cunning. Which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman. So here, Satan entered the serpent. He's talking to the serpent. And has said to Eve, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Does God really say that? Instead of saying, hey, you know, God said that. We need to obey him. He didn't say that, did he? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. This is what God said. If you disobey me and do your own thing, you're going to die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Don't listen to God. He didn't come out and really say that, did he? But he said, you're not going to surely die. He's cunning. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, he says, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he lies to Eve, and she believes the lie. Now, Adam was instructed by God to obey him and gave him the instruction. And Adam told his wife, and she went so as far as we're not even to look at it. So Adam was very, Eve, we're not to eat it. And don't even look at it, lest we die. So God gave instruction, and Eve twists it. He lies. He's out there. He's like a roaring lion wanting to kill us, to devour us. He wants us dead. That's why that is used in 2 Corinthians. We must be willing to be able to discern between right and wrong. Most of the world doesn't know. I'm going to talk about diversity here in just a little bit. But we need to be constantly sensitive to what's going on in our lives. We need to look and say, whoa, that is wrong. What is going on right now is wrong. And we need to step back. We need to step way back from that door and not open it. We need to be thinking about what Satan is doing in our lives. I'll talk a little bit more about that here just a little minute. Number three, we need to understand that our thinking without God, without God's direction, seems right to us, but it leads to death. Seems right, but it leads to death. Let me turn over to Proverbs chapter 14 and read the scripture for that. Things may seem right. I mean, we can analyze it. We can look at it. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's a crucial scripture. I didn't turn over there, but it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And for Others, also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, where Satan deceives the whole world. It's in the Bible. Yeah, he can't deceive me. You may say that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems right. Oh, it seems fun. It's enjoyable. I have to do this. I need to do this. You know, we see in what Mr. Scriber was talking about in his letter, and I was reading some of the lyrics to some of the music. And some of the lyrics talks about Jesus Christ, talks about that particular person who's wrote the song, knows what they're doing is wrong, but they do it anyway. And in the words, they say, it's just too hard to obey. Just too hard to obey. It's too hard to overcome. Well, let's look at it this way. You get a job. It's too hard to work. Well, we'd be fired. It's too hard to study if we're in school. Well, you're not going to make it to the end. It's just too hard. Marriage takes work. Do we give up? Everything takes work. We can't give in. Satan makes us think it's too hard. And then we look at what he's pushing in today. We'll touch on here in just a little bit as well. We see the problems in society when Satan says, you shall not surely die. You know, Cain killed Abel. He killed his own brother. We have hundreds of millions of people who have died in wars since that time, up until now. Over 100 million have died with disease. Look at the family. Oh, families ripped apart, torn apart. There's hate. People can't get along. There's divorce. So much pain and suffering. Why? Because people won't listen to God. They don't want to listen to God. They want to do their own thing. Satan has deceived them. Another point. Satan pushes us to have diversity. People go, we need diversity. Well, diversity. Let me read to you. There's a definition for diversity. The concept of diversity encompasses acceptance and respect for all human beings. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you feel. In the English, the word diversity has meant difference, variety, unlikeness, distinction, perversity, evil, mischief over the years. Some people don't like that word diversity because it's causing too much hate. We want everyone to get along, do what you want to do, and let's be at one. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. They want people to do what they want to do, think what they think, respect them. Look what's going on TV today. There's so much hate, so much arguing between different media. They hate each other. They're so, in many cases, they're blinded to what's going on out there because they have their own agenda. They want diversity. Look at the result of diversity by allowing sin. There's nothing wrong with accepting individuals as God desires, to love them and to care for them and to want the best for them as we want the best for ourselves. But God has laws in place that we need to follow. They don't want to hear that. And point number five, It's very easy for Satan to enter our homes. He comes knocking on the door. We can turn on the television. What do we see with the popular information that's on TV, television shows that promote and glorify adultery, homosexuality, the lifestyles? I mean, I rarely watch TV, but just clicking through some of it sometimes, I cannot believe what is on there. Drug and alcohol abuse, all in the name of entertainment. Killing, stealing, adultery, lying. Satan is subtle. He makes sin look good. It's appealing. I want to watch this. Video games. Mr. Elliott wrote a letter a while back. Look at all these shootings that are going on in society. People killing. People going out and just shooting people. He asked the question, could the video games have anything to do with that? Of kids shooting and blowing up people, all in the name of fun. Some of these people that are out there hurting and killing others, when they're picked up and they're talked to, they find out they don't have a conscience. They don't care. They don't care. And the music is what Mr. Scriber was talking about. Satan disguises himself. He pretends that these things are not harmful to us, that these things will not hurt us in any way. We know that music, much of today's music, promotes and condones sin. It's easy to get caught up with the beat. It's easy to get caught up with humming. It's easy to get caught up in singing it. If it's the words are about sin, and we're humming and we're singing with it, and it's evil, what do you think God thinks of us when we do that? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. I read part of it last week. What does God think about us being involved with sin? What happens? We look at society today. People say, God is not fair. Why would God allow these things? Well, Romans 1, verse 28. Paul is saying, because man did not want to retain God in his knowledge. Now, God is a God of love who cares for us and wants to show us how to live a life that is pleasing to him, that is helpful to us, not hurtful to us. He wants the best for us. But when we disobey him, verse 28, and even as they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They're violent, they're proud, they're boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Satan says, you won't surely die. Yes, we will. God says so. That only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So if we approve of sin, verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what's against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due, which is death. That's what is going to happen if we don't repent. The ultimate, we as the body of Christ do not approve of these things. We don't hum along in the music of these things. It was shocking to see that survey of millennials admitted that they were queer. 30% in society. And it's growing. The Bible says it will. The Bible gives us the answers. The Bible tells us to stay on guard. Why? Because Satan is knocking on the door. He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. Satan is powerful, he's intelligent, and he wants power at all costs. And he wants to kill off the human race as well. He'll either kill us or he will guide us to disobey God and be firm in that, so God will kill us. And that would be God's mercy. God doesn't want us to live a life like this. People don't understand God's love. Satan is vain and proud. And you can read Ezekiel chapter 28, where he was perfect in God's creation until iniquity was found in him. It's also in Isaiah 14. But he lusts for power, and he doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. He wants us to disobey God. He's so powerful, he can blind our thinking. He can blind our ways. One day, people are going to wake up, and they're going to see Satan for who he is. Tells us that in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 as well, that he'll be there on display for people to see. In the end time. Okay, real quick. We talked about what some of the things that Satan does to deceive us. All right, and there's a lot more than just that. But here are four quick steps to help us to keep on guard when Satan is knocking on the door. Number one is put away evil and replace it with good. Oh, how well we know that. Days of unleavened bread, putting out sin and putting on righteousness. And for us, we need to be reading the Bible. It is the Word of God to help us to hate evil and to learn what is right and to apply it in our lives. You know, I read those words in the Bible and I just see how far I fall short. And you can just close the Bible, get up, and put it into practice. It's awesome. Point number two, we should pray and ask God to protect us from Satan and his demons. As we heard in the sermonette, what we should be praying for, Jesus says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit, our human spirit, it's willing, it wants to do it, and we're told our flesh is weak. So we must pray, Christ says. That's Mark 14:38. Watch, be alert, and pray, knowing that Satan is knocking on the door, that he wants to devour us. And then another thing that can be helpful, I have here point number three. When Satan is knocking on the door and he wants us to sin, think it out. Think it out and ask questions. Before you listen to a song, before you watch a television show, before you play that video game, think about it. Should I be doing this? Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. In other words, think about what you're going to do and then continue in doing right. Be careful. Plan, think, be thoughtful of what you do. And then point number four I have, when we sin, repent, and then ask God for help. Second Timothy 2:26, Paul is saying, you know what? We want people to come to their senses, he says, that they may come to their senses and escape. Escape what? The snare of the devil, who's taken captive by him to do his will. If any of us have conditioned ourselves to practice sin in our lives and the things that we're doing, it's not too late to repent. It's not too late to change. I mean, evil is all around us. Wherever we go, it's always knocking on the door. It's always there. The key to resisting the devil is to sincerely and consistently draw near and remain close to God. We're told that in this last verse, James chapter 4, verse 8. When we're sinning, James says, all right. The last part here is cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. He's telling the church this. Cleanse your hands. You sinners, you're practicing sin. You're a hypocrite. And purify your hearts. You double-minded. First part of that verse, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God says, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you. And God does that in many ways. Get on our knees and cry out to him and ask for help. As parents, we should be able to help our children. As parents, we should be able to help our mates. Ministry should be able to help the congregation. We're brothers and sisters to encourage one another to come out of the world and give God glory. That's our calling. So we must actively seek to eliminate Satan in our lives, his way of thinking and behaving. That's what we need to be doing. Consider this. You may think that Satan can never deceive you. But Satan deceived one-third of the angels. There was a time when he was full of beauty. Then he turned from God and deceived one-third of the angels. Deceived them, convinced them to follow him. And today they're called demons. If he can do it to the angels, don't you think he can also do it to us? So it's important to always be on guard. Not let evil in when he comes knocking on the door.